Oh, wait. Grief also hurts, like aches and pains kind of hurt. So offer to rub his shoulder and back. Another thing is when you're just sitting, chatting, massage his hands, touch his arm, and just let him know you're there for him. Rig listened, concentrated on each word, and made mental notes. He also had access to pamphlets Max had given them, some great internet sites on coping with grief, and Max was only a phone call away. He was confident he had plenty of resources available if he ran into a problem. Oh, and eat your Wheaties, Max ordered him with a smile. Huh? He asked, confused, trying to switch gears. Insomnia can be a bitch, Max said with a wink. Ooh, that coffee smells good, Mason said as he came through the front door. Thank you, Rig whispered to Max, who nodded and then called out to Mason. Just made a pot. Would you like a cup? No, thank you, but I'd love a cup of tea. Mason stopped at the entrance to the kitchen, his expression still relaxed as it had been while he'd been pulling weeds. A shy grin curled his lips as he held up his dirt-covered hands. I'm going to go shower. If you made it now, I'd really appreciate it. There was a large brown smudge across Mason's forehead, another smaller one on his right cheek, and Rig couldn't help but chuckle and return the smile. Sure. Mason hesitated and frowned. Where's Bobby? I thought he was coming over this morning. He had to run in town for a few supplies. Rig glanced down at his watch. He should be here any time now. Mason's smile returned. Cool. He turned and was gone. Rig watched him go and continued to stare after Mason had disappeared. A warm rush moved through Rig, a direct effect of that shy smile on the younger man's face. A few minutes later, Rig heard the water come on, and his thoughts drifted to places they shouldn't go. Mason's needs outweigh yours and Bobby's. Damn. Max's voice pulled Rig from his musings. What? You, my friend, have it bad. Max chuckled and shook his head. Shut up. I simply admire the young man for his strength and courage, Rig muttered, and turned to add more coffee to his cup, although it was still close to full, simply to avoid Max's knowing gaze. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's sweet, shy, and absolutely adorable, I'm sure, Max said smugly. Nothing at all, Rig answered, starting a pot of water for Mason's tea, effectively hiding a smile. Hey, Rig or Max, Mason yelled from the bathroom. I'm out of shampoo. Could one of you grab a bottle out of the hall closet? I'll get it, Max said, and started to take a step. The hell you will, Rig growled, and turned to glare at the cheeky bastard. Nothing at all, Max echoed with an innocent smile. Shouldn't you be packing or something? Rig tossed over his shoulder as he headed toward the hall. The sound of Max's boisterous laughter followed him all the way. Rig gasped when he opened the linen closet door in the hall. He'd grabbed a towel out of the nearly empty closet a couple of days ago, and now, not only was it stocked full of bottles of shampoo, mouthwash, soap, toothpaste, deodorant, and all the other things a man would need to take care of his daily hygiene needs, everything was stacked in perfect rows, reminding Rig of the neat shelves at the drugstore. Rig was pretty sure Mason hadn't left his home in the last week, unless he was making midnight runs after Rig and Bobby had returned to their bungalow at night. Perhaps he had it stashed somewhere, or he'd received a delivery without Rig being aware. However, Mason had obtained it, and Rig knew for a fact that the young man was nothing if he wasn't anal. Rig snatched a bottle of shampoo labeled Tea Tree Lavender Mint, popped open the top, and inhaled deeply. The aroma, one he now associated with Mason, caused a tingling sensation to race down his spine and warmth to infuse his groin. He'd always thought of flowers and girls when seeing anything made of lavender, but when added to mint and the tea tree, it had a very earthy, masculine smell. A perfect scent for Mason.
Is someone going to bring me some shampoo, please?
Mason called out, his voice muffled by the sound of rushing water.
Coming,
Rick called out and shut the closet door. The steam was thick in the large room, making it difficult for Rig to make out Mason's form behind the white shower curtain. It was probably just as well, or maybe it would have been better if he could get a glimpse of Mason while he showered, give him something to fuel his fantasies at night. Christ, he was a sick bastard. Shaking his head in disgust, Rig set the shampoo on the corner of the bench where the curtain wasn't quite pulled all the way across, keeping his eyes low.
There you go. Rig?
It's on the corner of the bench, Rig told him, already stepping out of the bathroom and closing the door behind him. He leaned against the door and squeezed his eyes shut as he heard Mason say thanks.
Mason's needs outweigh yours and Bobby's. Mason's needs outweigh yours and Bobby's,
Rig repeated over and over and over in his head. But just like his gut and heart weren't listening to his head, his aching dick had no desire to listen to it either.
Bobby is so fucking bottoming tonight, he grumbled under his breath, pushed himself off the door, and uncomfortably made his way back to the kitchen.
Chapter 11. It's strange how quickly one can become dependent on another person. As Mason watched Max and Rig pull out of the drive, the force of how quickly and how completely he'd become dependent on Max hit him hard. As he stood in his driveway and waved goodbye, he felt lost. Max was only a phone call away, one click on the bookmarked icon on his laptop, and he was in a web chat. But he was still nervous. Max seemed to have an unwavering belief that he could help Mason with his fear of going out in public. Mason didn't share Max's conviction. He'd always been a shy kid, never wanting to draw any attention to himself, probably due to the fact that at a very young age he'd known he was different than all the other boys, and having his feelings, in fact, confirmed to be unnatural and an abomination by his family and church. His need to keep others from noticing him grew to an obsession by the time he was 12. Later, he would learn how smart he was to keep himself and his thoughts locked firmly within his head. His family and church turned their backs on him when they learned his secret, but that wasn't the problem anymore. The real problem was he had zero social skills. It no longer had anything to do with being gay. He was comfortable with his sexuality. It was simply, strangers freaked him the fuck out. He'd start worrying about what he should and shouldn't say, how he was supposed to behave. Did he look okay? Did his breath stink? Should he meet other people's eyes to show he was paying attention or not? Or was it misconstrued as a challenge or rude by staring? All of this internal dialogue would happen within a blink of an eye, overwhelm him at how rapidly the questions were being fired at him, and bam, panic attack. Mason's eyes began to burn, and he rubbed at them, wincing at how dry they were. Only then did he realize he'd been staring, unblinkingly, lost in thought for so long, even the dust Rig's car had kicked up had settled. Out in 90-degree weather, the sun, scorching his retinas, wasn't going to bring Max back. Nor was it going to help that damn lost feeling in his gut. But at least he wasn't alone. He had Bobby and Rig to keep him company for... Mason slapped his forehead.
Shit, Bobby,
he groaned. Hurrying around the house, Mason tromped up the stairs and dashed in the house.
I'm so...
He grabbed the screen door before it could slam behind him and snapped his mouth shut. Bobby sat on the couch, feet propped up on the coffee table, and head laid back, a small snore coming from the sleeping man. Poor thing. He knew Bobby hadn't been sleeping much. The dark circles under his eyes and the slump of his shoulders mirrored Mason's.
Bobby's sleep deprivation was a result of the worry Mason always saw on the man's face when he looked at Mason. Mason's own sleep was sporadic and interrupted with nightmares. Damn, they were quite the pair. Mason stepped out of his flip-flops and, careful not to jostle Bobby, sat on the other end of the couch and tucked his feet up under him. Without the worry of being caught staring, he took in Bobby's features. His longish, curly hair, with streaks of gray, weaved sparingly with the dark brown. His beard, the same mix of colors. Bobby wasn't what he'd describe as particularly handsome, nor was his body lean and buff. But there was just something about Bobby that set Mason at ease. Bobby was like a big, sweet teddy bear, which seemed in complete contrast to what Mason had always thought when thinking of a dominant male. Not only was Bobby unusual in his demeanor, but Mason's response to him was as well. Both men had been at his home every day since his drunken meltdown, and not once had Mason experienced symptoms of a pending panic attack. Part of the reason was because of Max, but Bobby and Rig were a big part of that too. For reasons he couldn't quite grasp or understand, the virtual strangers didn't frighten him. The one thing that helped him to get up each morning was knowing that as soon as he dialed their number, they'd be on their way over, and shortly thereafter, the kitchen would be filled with the scents of brewing coffee, fresh bread, and some type of breakfast meat frying. There would also be a bustle of activity, music playing from the small radio, always an upbeat tune, Mason kept on the kitchen counter, the warmth of Bobby and Riggs' presence. Max didn't always come over early with the other men. From what Mason could decipher from Bobby, Max had a new interest back home whom he spoke with each morning in a private web chat. But from the expression on Max's face when he'd call or get a text from a certain someone, the way his eyes would light up and his lips would curl into a brilliant smile, Mason would wager it was a whole lot more than just an interest. It made Mason feel all the more appreciative for what Max had done for him. It also caused a healthy dose of guilt for keeping Max from his home and job for the last week. The feeling was all the more intense because Max had refused to let Mason give him so much as a dime. He'd assured Max he could afford his fees, Gregory and Charles leaving him financially well taken care of, but Max wouldn't hear of it. Yet even though he felt guilty, he still wanted Max to stay longer. Interest, money, or home be damned. He truly could be a selfish bastard at times. A wayward curl caused Bobby's cheek to twitch, and Mason silently moved closer and brushed it back from Bobby's face, the small strand like silk. "Who the hell are you?" Mason whispered, still running the curl between his fingers. What the hell kind of force or spell had brought Bobby and his friends here? Surely it wasn't God. Someone or something as good and powerful as was preached to him as a child would never be so cruel as to take Gregory and Charles from him. Nor would a loving God force Mason to endure what Charles's family had done to him. And if he was wrong, if there was such a benevolent being, were Bobby, Rig, and Max its way of apologizing? What were the chances these men would show up in his life when they did? What were the chances that he'd respond to them the way he had? What were the chances he'd feel calm and safe within the presence of these men, when his entire life he'd been so afraid of strangers? And even bigger questions were, why did he already miss Max, and why was he so afraid Bobby and Rig would leave him? Was he grasping onto something that wasn't real, hoping to replace the irreplaceable? Why the fuck was he not having a panic attack when his brain was throwing everything at him, rapidly firing question after question, without giving him a chance to come up with an answer? And yet, the simple touch of his fingers against Bobby's hair, hearing the larger man's even breathing, seeing his kind face, was enough to keep him calm. "What are you doing to me?" "Hmm?" Bobby's eyes fluttered open, slowly focusing on Mason, and he smiled warmly. "Hey." "Hey, sorry, didn't mean to wake you." Bobby patted Mason's knee. No apologies needed. Did Max and Rhea get off okay? Mason nodded and was surprised how good and warm it felt that Bobby had kept his hand resting against Mason's knee after the pat. He was shocked to realize that he wanted to curl up against Bobby's side, lay his head on his chest, and be held. The memory of waking that first morning, lying on Bobby, hearing his heartbeat, and feeling safe for the first time in weeks, he wanted to feel that again, but he couldn't ask. You okay? Mason stared down at where Bobby's hand rested, his thumb caressing Mason's skin, and the request was on his tongue. Please just hold me. But he couldn't say it. He wasn't a child. He had to learn to comfort himself, stand up on his own two feet, and be a man. The very thought of the magnitude of the task before him exhausted Mason and caused his head to hurt. Sighing quietly, he nodded again. I'm fine. You look exhausted. Mason looked up and met Bobby's gaze, giving him the best smile he could muster. No, really, I'm okay. How did you meet Rig and Max? He asked, needing to take the focus off him. Bobby stared back at him, his eyes searching, but Mason held still, doing his damnedest to keep his expressions neutral and not look away. After a few more heartbeats, Bobby said, How about you lay your head down? He patted his lap, since I'm sure it will bore you to sleep. Mason hesitated. He couldn't think of anything else he'd rather do than lie against Bobby. But he had to stick to his resolve to find comfort in himself. You're tired. You're not seeking comfort, only rest. As the voice in his head spoke, Mason found himself unconsciously stretching out and laying his head on Bobby's lap. A second later, one of Bobby's hands came to rest on Mason's arm. The other he used to stroke Mason's hair, just resting. I met Rig at Folsom, Bobby started. That's the club you go to in New York? It's the club I started, Bobby told him proudly. Back 25 years ago, there was a lot of underground clubs, more like meet and greets in abandoned buildings in the basements of people's homes. I wanted a nice place where like-minded people could get together in a comfortable and safe environment, so I opened Folsom. It didn't look much better than some of those abandoned buildings, but eventually it became one of the hottest spots to visit for those in the lifestyle. I attribute a lot of my early success to Rig. He was a customer? Mason asked, and settled deeper into the cushions. No, he was one of the very first bartenders I employed. He was... Bobby went silent for a moment, and then chuckled as if he'd just been reminded of something funny. He was very popular with the clientele. To watch him, working behind the bar in nothing but a pair of tight leather pants and studded leather X across his chest. Jesus, he was something. He still is, Mason pointed out. Yes, he is. And trust me, no sub or dom for that matter stood a chance when he turned on the charm. Including you, huh? Mason teased. Including me. Bobby agreed readily. Being the boss, I got first dibs, and I haven't let go of that man since. About 2, maybe almost 3 years later, I made him a partner just to make sure he couldn't let go of me either. I see the way he looks at you, responds to you. I'd say it's a lot more than just a business venture that's kept him around all these years. Bobby ruffled Mason's hair and laughed. Don't let that badass Dom hear you talking all sweet and sugary about him. He gets cranky when I tease him about getting soft and sentimental in his old age. Bobby went back to petting Mason's hair, and Mason found himself pushing into the soothing touch. He looks like he's in his prime, if you ask me. Hey, who's asking the questions and who's answering them here? Bobby grumbled playfully. Sorry, Mason said, not the least bit apologetic. Please continue. Right. So, Max. Jesus, when did I meet Max? Bobby tapped his fingers against Mason's arm as he contemplated the question. It had to be at least 10 years now. I don't remember exactly, He joined the club, looking to explore his kinks he'd discovered while still in college, and I took him in hand.
Wow, so you were Max's mentor?
Mason said incredulously.
Max seems so confident, so sure, more dominant than you.
He is more dominating, more hardcore than I am these days, but he had a couple of very, very good teachers, Bobby said smugly. Some of his shows at the club are legendary.
I can believe that, Mason said, and he could. Max was so gorgeous, so confident, without being overly arrogant. Yet he could calm and soothe with just one look.
Mason hadn't seen it, but he'd bet that when Max was in full dom mode, he was a glorious sight to behold. The thought of Bobby being like that seemed out of character for the man currently stroking his hair.
I don't want to offend you, he continued hesitantly, but I just can't wrap my head around you being all hardcore and training someone like Max.
Mason turned onto his back, eyes going wide as he looked up at Bobby.
Wait, that didn't come out right. I mean, well,
he stuttered.
I like you just the way you are. It's just, you seem...
No offense taken. In this case, the student definitely surpassed the teacher. Bobby assured him with a smile. And I seem to be what? He encouraged.
Like a big, snuggly teddy bear, Mason said in a low voice, and then shrunk away slightly.
Bobby's laughter was boisterous, a full-belly laugh that shook Mason.
Oh, God, Bobby got out between snorts. You sound just like Rig.
He calls you a teddy bear, too?
Mason giggled and grabbed onto Bobby's thigh to keep from being shook right off the couch.
Yes, and like I told him.
Bobby chuckled and waggled a finger at Mason.
You are not to speak of this in public. You'll ruin the badass reputation I have so carefully constructed all these years.
Mason continued to stare at Bobby's laughing eyes, trying to picture this sweet man as badass, and simply couldn't do it. He shook his head, still snickering, and rolled onto his side to snuggle back into the couch.
Your secret is safe with me.
Bobby's hands immediately returned to where they'd been, the one on Mason's head, now massaging his scalp.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
he responded, stifling a moan in response to the soothing touch, and closed his eyes.
Tell me more about your friends in New York,
Mason murmured sleepily.
New York is a melting pot of diversity, and my friends match that description. Where shall I begin?
Bobby asked quietly, while the strokes of his fingers were working their magic on Mason. Mason tried to pay attention. He heard Bobby speaking, his voice low, lulling Mason to sleep. Tackett, club, shows, Blake. But the rest of the words were indiscernible, and before long, even the few he could make out were lost to the darkness as it enveloped Mason.
Chapter 12. The sun had set hours ago, giving way to a full moon and sky full of stars. With darkness came a cooler breeze from the Gulf, yet the warm sand beneath Rig's feet still retained some of the heat of the day. This was the part he loved most about visiting Florida. He loved walking along the deserted beach at night, the sounds and scents of the salty mist that came with the rolling tide, the unpolluted skies above, and the warm breezes were what Rig would consider a good night. A perfect night would be Bobby and another hot, sweaty body whirling around in the sand, rather than him standing alone with it shifting through his curling toes. He'd always had a very high sex drive. When he was younger, he could bang an ass 2 or 3 times a day, every day, and he always suspected he might be a sex addict, but it had never been an issue. Never had to worry about it. If their boy was worn out or being punished, Rig had Bobby. Worst case scenario, he had a more than ample hand. Which, come to think of it, the calluses stuttering along his shaft were kind of fun occasionally. However,
he wouldn't be experiencing anything quite so rough as a calloused hand, not when he had Bobby's hot, tight backside to plow into. Rig groaned and pushed his palm against his throbbing shaft. Fuck, he was horny. A week. He never went that long. How the hell did the subs endure this kind of torture? It wouldn't take much to get him off. A couple hard pulls and fuck it. Rig scanned the area, looking to see if anyone was on the beach. Satisfied he was alone, he spit into his hand and shoved it past the waistband of his shorts, wrapping his cock in a tight, wet fist. Eyes fixed on the rolling waves, Rig ran his hand down his entire length. The pre-cum, seeping from his slit, added even more slick, and he sped his hand, teasing the flared head with the pad of his thumb on each pass. Fuck yeah, he groaned under his breath. He just needed to take the edge off. Later, when he had Bobby alone in their bed, there would be plenty of time for mind-blowing pleasure. This, ah shit. His balls drew up close to his body. This was about pure fucking animal need for release. A little more. He tightened his hold to an almost painful degree. The calluses across his palms added the perfect amount of bite. Almost. His breath came in short pants, chest rising and falling rapidly, and his eyes nearly rolled back in his head as he chased his orgasm. Hey, Rig?
No!
Rig, is that you down there? Bobby called again from behind him. Rig halted his hand mid-stroke and increased the hold he had on his dick until he winced. This is not motherfucking happening. Rig, are you okay? Rig groaned. Great, Mason too. Just fucking kill me. In fact, he didn't need to ask anyone. His goddamn dick was going to explode, and he'd probably bleed to death before they could get him off the beach. Yeah. His voice cracked, and he coughed, clearing his throat before trying again. Yeah, I'm fine. He shouted over his shoulder, without turning around. When the immediate danger passed, he turned loose of his dick and positioned the waistband of his boxers just below the head, trying to hold it against his body. It was no use. That son of a bitch wasn't going to cooperate. The screaming throb was like a fuck you, bud, finish or deal. He could hear Mason and Bobby chatting, their voices getting closer. Guess he was going to deal. Hey, Rig, Mason said when they stepped up close. Bobby made coffee and I made chocolate chip cookies. We were wondering if you wanted to join us. Those are not just chocolate chip cookies, Bobby added. Wait till you try them, Rig. You're going to cream yourself. They're so fucking good. He added an orange zest. You have no idea. Rig moaned silently. Cookies, huh? He muttered. You interrupted my nut for cookies? He shot Bobby a glare, but he doubted Bobby would get the full effect in the darkness. You didn't have to walk all the way down here. You could have called. We tried, but figured you wouldn't answer since you left your cell sitting on the deck, Bobby explained. Bobby ran his hand down Rig's back. You okay? He asked again. You sound a little hoarse. You're not coming down with something, are you? Bobby reached up and laid the back of his hand against Rig's forehead. No, he grunted and slapped Bobby's hand away. Throat's just a little dry. Panting as you're about to get off does that. There's fresh orange juice if you'd rather. Come on, Rig, before they get cold. Mason encouraged and grabbed Rig's forearm and tugged. What the hell else could he do but follow the eager guy? Each step was a lesson in agony, but somehow Rig trudged through the shifting sand beneath his feet, grumbling and groaning to himself the entire way. Bobby was right. The cookies were amazing, soft, warm, and gooey. The addition of the orange zest made a good cookie awesome, and a large glass of ice water helped his dry throat. But 30 minutes later, Rig was still achingly hard. Again, he thought, how the hell do people go this long and not lose their fucking minds? He'd allow Bobby to tie him up a couple of times, and when he'd still been in training, he felt the kiss of leather, the pinch of pain from clamps and cages. But seriously? This whole denial thing was just pure, unimaginable torture.
Rig?
Bobby barked and shoved his elbow into Rig's ribs, causing him to yelp.
What?
He growled and glared at his partner. Bobby's brow furrowed, and he looked Rig up and down.
The hell is wrong with you?
Mason just asked you if you wanted any more cookies before you put them away.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Mason,
he said, turning to meet Mason's concerned eyes, guilt assaulting him.
Thanks for the offer, but I've had my fill,
he said, patting his gut, then went to his feet. Luckily, the kitchen island blocked Mason and Bobby's view of Rig's thick bulge.
They were awesome, but I think I'm going to turn in early tonight.
To Bobby, he said, you ready to go? Bobby shot him a questioning look. Rig just shrugged.
Sure, Bobby said warily. Let me help Mason clean up these dishes and we'll go.
Bobby hesitated, staring at Rig for a moment longer as if he could find the answers to the questions written in Rig's body language or in his eyes. But Rig carefully relaxed his stance and, from years of practice, schooled his features, showing nothing of his discomfort or his longing. Bobby wasn't fooled.
Actually, I was hoping... Mason looked down at his feet. I was kind of hoping that...
He huffed out a breath.
Never mind, it's stupid.
He and Bobby responded immediately to the nervous lilt to Mason's voice. Bobby, being the closer of the two, placed his hand on Mason's back.
I'm sure it's not stupid. What were you hoping?
He asked gently. Mason continued to stare down at his feet for a few more seconds, but Rig didn't miss the way the tension in the man's shoulders seemed to relax with Bobby's touch, or the way he leaned ever so slightly toward Bobby. A nervous chortle escaped Mason, and without looking up, finally blurted out,
I was hoping you guys would stay tonight.
Mason then seemed to hold his breath, the tension returning as if waiting for a blow.
You want us to stay all night?
Bobby asked, and looked at Rig with wide eyes. Before Rig could respond, Bobby added,
Sure we can, if that's what you need.
Can't we, Rig?
Oh, Jesus. Someone was testing Rig.
No, they were fucking with him. Just to see if they could break him. And at this rate, it wasn't going to take long. Rig nodded.
Yeah, sure we can stay,
he responded tightly. Mason lifted his head, his smile broad, and Rig instantly felt contrite. His first thought had been no. Rig tried to smile, but he was pretty sure it came out as more of a pained snarl. He grudgingly started his mantra of, Mason's needs outweigh yours and Bobby's.
Great, I'll get the kitchen cleaned up and then freshen up the guest room.
Mason turned and moved toward the sink.
I'll help.
Rig grabbed Bobby's arm and stopped him from following the younger man.
What the hell has gotten into you tonight?
Bobby cursed. Rig easily recognized the irritation in his tone, which was fine since Rig was a little frustrated himself. He leaned over the island, tugging Bobby toward him at the same time, and whispered close to Bobby's ear,
I think we should run home for a bit.
What? Why? Bobby tried to pull back, but Rig held tight. The sound of the water running and the clanking of dishes helped disguise their conversation.
It's been a week, he hissed through gritted teeth.
I know. I'm surprised he's asking us to stay, he murmured.
This is a good thing, Rig. He's starting to really trust us.
Rig shook his head.
It's not that,
he grunted in frustration.
You know how much I hate the color blue? I hate it even more when it's the color of my nads.
Bobby's eyes narrowed, and then realization set in, and they filled with laughter and went wide.
Oh, Bobby snickered.
Rig wanted to whack the bastard upside his curly head.
A week,
he reminded him gruffly.
Yeah.
He looked back at Mason, who was filling the sink with dishes, and then back to Rig.
Just let me help him clean up, and we'll run home and take care of your little problem.
Rig arched a brow.
Okay, okay,
he laughed, pulling free and holding his hands up as if to ward off an attack.
Big problem, he mouthed, silently.
Bobby turned away before he saw Rig's response, which was just a silent,
damn right it's a big fucking problem.
The kitchen was too small for the three of them to move around in. Rig paced while Bobby and Mason washed and dried the dishes. The two of them happily chatted about favorite recipes, foods, completely oblivious to Rig and his distress. Rig had gotten it in his head that he was going to get laid, and no matter how hard he tried to steer his focus away from what his body was demanding, he simply couldn't do it. It was as if the harder he tried to ignore it, the harder his dick got. Like a little gnat buzzing around his head, the more he swatted at it, the more irritating and insistent it became. A droplet of sweat rolled down Rig's spine as he continued to try to burn off the sexual energy cursing through his system. The room was suddenly too small, stuffy. Rig ran a hand through his damp hair.
Too damn hot, he grumbled.
Bobby, I'll wait for you on the porch, Rig called out, already reaching for the doorknob. Standing on the porch, Rig leaned against the railing. The breeze didn't do much to cool his heated body, but at least it no longer felt like the walls were closing in on him. He could breathe a little easier, but not much.
Fuck, he was horny. He couldn't remember the last time he'd been this jacked up,
nor had his need for release consumed him quite this completely since he was younger. Maybe it was all the stress he'd been under the past week. He'd dealt fairly well with the haunting memories of the past, but he'd reached his limit. He just wanted to lay back, release, and relax. There definitely wasn't a better way to burn off stress than a hot, mind-blowing orgasm. Rig tipped his head back and closed his eyes. A wry smile pulled at his lip.
Except maybe two hot, mind-blowing orgasms, he mused.
Rig opened his eyes when he heard the door open behind him.
Finally.
He spun around, and his hopes plummeted to his feet when he came face to face with Mason's smiling face.
Mason needed some fresh air. He's going to walk with us. Isn't that great, Rig?
Bobby's voice was cheerful, but his eyes were apologetic as he looked at Rig. A strangled sound escaped Rig before he could reel it in.
I don't have to go,
Mason remarked, his smile falling.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have invited myself. You probably wanted some time alone.
Mason's needs outweigh yours and Bobby's. Resigned to his agony, Rig put an arm around Mason's shoulders.
Don't be silly. We'd love for you to go.
He led Mason down the steps and glanced back at Bobby, giving him a "your ass is going to pay for this later" look. The way Bobby shuddered, the message was received loud and clear. Rig smiled. Chapter 13. Standing in front of the open window, Mason looked out toward the rolling waves of the Gulf beyond. Mason ran a hand down his smooth chest, the fine sheen of perspiration slicking his way down farther across the ridges of muscle on his stomach. The thin line of dark hair below his navel, soft against his palm. He dipped his pinky finger below the waistband of his shorts, a shudder going through him as it brushed across the sensitive head of his cock. With his eyes still on the shoreline in front of him, Mason pushed his shorts down just far enough to expose his hard shaft and wrapped his hand around it. His eyes fluttered closed as he began slow, even strokes up and down his length. Mason's eyes flew open, and he looked down at the large, familiar hand roaming across his chest as heat pressed against his back. He closed his eyes once again with a moan and leaned his head back on his lover's shoulder, matching the strokes against his cock to that against his chest. Calloused fingers pinched and pulled at Mason's nipples, as soft lips pressed against the side of his neck and his pulse increased, skin flushing and tingling. Mason leaned back farther, resting more of his weight on his lover's body, and widened his stance, the rhythm of the hand on his chest and on his dick moving faster in measured strokes. He was close, could feel his sack draw up, the muscles in his body coiling, readying for release. A cool wind blew across Mason's back, and the hand on his chest disappeared. When he opened his eyes, he was shocked to find the sun had set. He could no longer see the gulf beyond, the room around him in complete darkness. He held a hand out in front of him, turning in a small circle, reaching out to find his lover, but he grasped only air. Mason strained to hear his lover's breath, a footstep, anything to get a bearing of where he was, but the silence was as complete as the darkness. "Sir?" he called out. The only response was the echo of his own voice. At some point, his shorts must have fallen down around his ankles, and he stumbled when he tried to take a step. Strong hands caught him before he could fall, and he cried out when he was lifted off his feet and set down on the window seat. The heated flesh of his back pressed against the cool glass at the same moment his cock was surrounded in a warm, wet mouth. "Whew!" Mason's word caught in his throat when his entire length was engulfed, a throat tightening around the flared head as they swallowed. Mason's hands landed in soft, silky strands, and he curled them into fists, his hips instinctively snapping. The strong hands that held him, blunt nails digging into the tender flesh of his hips, halted his movements. A strange noise, half moan of pleasure, half cry of frustration, from his vain attempt to thrust, worked its way out of Mason. His heart hammered in his chest, breath coming in short pants. He could only hold on to the hair tangled in his fists and react to the overwhelming stimulation. Mason felt a vibrating sensation against his cock, much like that of when Charles would hum when blowing him, but he couldn't hear any sound over the rush of blood roaring in his ears and his own strangled cries. The vibration set off a chain of events Mason was powerless to control. His head fell back, back arched. He was aware of his muscles tightening as if he were a wind-up toy. Each stroke of that wet heat, like a turn of the key, coiling the spring. No sight, no sound of his lover, made the feel of his hands, the slide of his tongue, the scrape of teeth, that much more acute. Mason stepped toward the edge, his breath held as his body readied itself for the plunge. Nothing. All stimulation was gone. No hands on his hips, no rhythmic slide of tongue, no tight throat clamping down on his cockhead. No soft strands against his palms, only a twinge of pain from where his own nails dug into the meaty flesh. Mason sucked in a harsh breath and stepped back from the edge, trembling. "Sir?" Silence. He opened his eyes and winced at the harsh, bright sunlight streaming in through the window behind him. The entire room glowing, and yet Mason still felt the darkness, black and silent, deep within him. Blinking rapidly, Mason tried to focus on something, anything, but the brilliant glowing light that was just as complete as the darkness had been. Where the hell was he? He shifted, trying to get his bearings. His hands curled in the cushion beneath his ass, his legs held together by the shorts pulled around his ankles. The window seat. He was still sitting in the window seat, his cock aching and throbbing, straining and curling up toward his stomach. Charles. Charles had been in the darkness. He'd been humming against Mason's cock, bringing him rapidly to the edge of bliss, and then Mason blinked again, but it did no good. He couldn't see or hear him. He was gone. Mason no longer felt his presence. He was gone, blinked away by the wash of light, leaving Mason aching and longing for his touch. The cold black began to smother him, choking him and crushing the heart in his chest. But just as the weight of it began to crush him, powerful hands landed on his waist and spun Mason. He yelped, flailing to find purchase, and a loud oomph was ripped from him when he landed on his elbows and knees. The sound cut off when the hair on the back of his head was grabbed and his face pushed into the cushion. Mason turned his head and gasped as his shorts were roughly pulled past his feet. Mason could barely make out the outline of a man behind him. It wasn't a shadow, only a slight variation to the light, brighter, as if the light was distorting the features by emitting from within the man himself. The powerful hand on the back of Mason's head stayed firm, not allowing Mason to lift it even a millimeter. But the one on his lower back was soft, a thumb gently brushing back and forth over the small birthmark Mason had a couple inches above the crack of his ass. A favorite spot. Gregory had always returned to that area over and over with fingers, lips, and tongue. The darkness inside Mason receded, along with the sadness and shock, when warm lips pressed against the small discoloration, and he knew it was him. Could feel him, smell him. In sharp contrast to the rough position he was held in, Mason's crease was teased lovingly. Gentle fingers probed at him, stretched him, and when his lover's cock entered him, it was with a sigh rather than a shout. Each press was measured, each pull painstakingly slow. Over and over and over, the movement was repeated until Mason thought he'd go mad. It was just enough stimulation to renew Mason's need to come with a vengeance, but never quite enough to push him to the edge and shove him over. He needed more, needed it harder or faster or more. He needed more before insanity overwhelmed him. More friction, something, just more. Mason tried reaching for his cock, but invisible bonds held his wrists. He tried to call out, to beg and plead, but his screams were silent. He was stuck, held in limbo, as his body was loved. The only thing he could do was rock at the same slow-moving pace his lover set.
"Thank fuck," was the first cohesive thought that entered Rig's brain upon waking and feeling a hard dick poking insistently at the crack of his ass. He yawned and stretched, soft hair tickling between his shoulder blades with the movement. Rig hadn't been all that upset when Mason had followed him and Bobby back to their bungalow, even though Mason had totally cock-blocked him, but he had to admit, he'd nearly lost his shit when Mason had crawled between him and Bobby on the couch, and they'd snuggled together all through two sitcoms and the news. The fucking Late Show had finally done Rig in, and he'd fallen asleep. He barely remembered stumbling into the spare room, shucking off his clothes, pulling back the covers, and face-planting on the mattress. Rig also didn't remember Bobby crawling into bed with him, but he must have, as evident by the warm breath on Rig's back and the tap, tap, tap of a wet-tipped cockhead. With a happy hum, Rig wrapped a fist around his dick, pulling his length in full tip-to-base pulls in the same slow rhythm Bobby set. He'd give Bobby a minute more, let him think he was going to actually get lucky. But after the hell Rig had survived the day before, he deserved to be the one doing the banging. At least that was his plan for all of about 5 hard pulls.
"That's it," Rig moaned and pushed back against Bobby, encouraging him to move faster. He wasn't going to last long. They must have been going at it for a while, and obviously his dick had been awake long before he had, his balls already drawing up close to his body. Bobby didn't speed up to meet Rig's harder thrusts, didn't touch Rig, didn't speak, and just continued to poke at Rig with that same slow motion. Fuck that. He would not be denied this time. In one deft movement, Rig rolled and pinned Bobby beneath him, shoving Bobby's arms over his head, and humped hard, hissing when their hard cocks came in contact.
I said harder,
he snarled, and snapped his hips.
Sir,
Bobby cried out. Rig was rutting, rushing toward orgasm, and it took a few seconds before cognitive thought made its way through the haze of lust and sleep. It wasn't Bobby's voice. It was Mason's, but it was too late. Rig was already coming by the time realization set in. He groaned pitifully as he tried reining it in, losing all friction and stimulation as he rolled and cried out as his head hit the nightstand, and seconds later, the breath was knocked out of him as his back slammed against the hardwood floor. To add insult to injury, his cock continued to pulse and shot one last blast of cum that landed on Rig's wheezing chest. A light came on, and Mason's horrified face peeked over the edge of the mattress.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry, Rig, Mason deplored. I was dreaming, and I'm pretty sure I was fucking, or rather being fucked, because... Oh shit. I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Are you hurt?
Rig tried to respond, let Mason know he was fine, and to calm down, but Rig was still having a little bit of difficulty getting air back into his lungs, so he just waved a hand toward Mason, hoping the message got through.
What the hell happened?
Bobby demanded, coming around the end of the bed, hands on his hip and scowling down at Rig. Rig sent him a message, too, in the form of a lone standing middle finger.
I'm so sorry, Mason stammered again, his face beet red, the color reaching all the way up to his ears.
What the hell was Mason apologizing for? Okay, so yeah, the man had been humping against him when he'd woke, but he was the one who had slammed the poor guy into the mattress and blew his nut all over Mason's chest. Rig shook his head.
Don't, he gasped out, finally catching his breath. I'm fine.
Rig held out a hand toward Bobby and allowed his partner to help him to his feet.
Ow, fuck, ow.
Rig's hand rubbed across the back of his head, coming away wet. A queasy sensation rolled Rig's gut when he looked down at his hand, his palm covered in blood, and the room began to spin.
Shit, sit down before you fall down, Bobby ordered, and grabbed Rig's arm and encouraged him to sit on the edge of the bed.
Dazed, Rig followed his instruction without hesitation and grabbed the back of his head again.
Let me look, Bobby muttered, and pried Rig's hand away. Mason, could you grab me a towel, please?
He added as he examined Rig's wound. Mason jumped from the bed and hurried out the door without a word.
Where the hell did he come from? Rig grumbled. I thought that was you poking me in the ass.
He winced when Bobby poked at the cut.
He woke to a nightmare while we were still on the couch, and I brought him to bed with me,
Bobby explained. And how the hell did you get us confused?
I was sleeping and it was dark, Rig said defensively. And I was horny, which is all your fucking fault, he snarled,
then turned and swatted Bobby's hand away.
Stop it! That hurts!
Stop being a baby,
Bobby chastised.
Here you go,
Mason yelled, coming back through the door with an armful of towels.
One is plenty, Bobby chuckled, and took one from the top of the stack. This big old growly bear only has a little nick.
Bobby pressed the towel to the back of Rig's head, holding pressure against the wound. Rig looked down at his hand again, held it toward Bobby, and arched a brow. Bobby waved it off.
Head wounds always bleed easily.
Can I get you anything, Rig? Maybe an ice pack? Aspirin? Drink of water?
Mason looked so grief-stricken, Rig instantly had the urge to ease the man, even lie a little to do it.
I'm fine, Mason, honest. Bobby's right. It's just a little nick. It doesn't even hurt, he assured him, much.
Mason clutched the towels to him, worrying his bottom lip with teeth. His cheeks were still colored, and he wouldn't meet Rig's eyes.
Are you sure?
He asked hesitantly. Rig pulled himself to his feet, gritting his teeth when the room tilted, but he pushed past the sensation and cupped Mason's chin with his clean hand and tilted his head back until Mason met his eyes.
Honest, I'm fine, he promised.
A second wave of nausea rolled through him, and he dropped his hand.
Bobby, you want to come clean this crap out of my hair?
Without waiting for a response, he stepped past Mason and made his way to the bathroom on unsteady legs. They say be careful what you wish for, and Rig now understood exactly what they meant. He'd wanted to get off so goddamn bad, and he'd gotten his wish. Next time, he'd make sure to wish for a pleasurable O, because the one he just got had to have been the singularly most painful orgasm ever. The only thing that kept him putting one step in front of the other instead of crawling back into bed was his greater need to shower and get some coffee and an ice pack, because damn, how?
Chapter 14. Rig and Bobby had gone back to their place to shower and grab clean clothes. After a quick shower of his own, Mason dressed in a pair of blue and yellow flowered swim trunks and a yellow tank. They were going to make breakfast together, then spend some time lounging on the beach. He'd heard them come back moments ago, but he continued to fuss with his hair, brushed his teeth, rubbed lotion into his hands, cleaned up the bathroom counter, checked his image for the 100th time in the mirror, and kept finding shit to putz with. You can't avoid them forever, you dork. You invited them back, he told his reflection. Mason fussed with his hair again. Christ, he was embarrassed and just couldn't seem to find the courage to open that fucking bathroom door. He planted his hands on the counter and hung his head, hiding from the accusing eyes. I humped Rig in my sleep, and I think I might have blown a load all over the poor man, too. How the hell was he going to meet the man's eyes? He couldn't even look at himself. Mason shook his head in disgust. That wasn't even the worst of it. He'd caused Rig to fall out of bed and crack his head wide open. Jesus, he groaned. A light rap sounded outside the door, causing him to jump.
Mason, you okay?
Bobby asked.
I'm hiding.
Mason flipped on the water and cleared his throat. Be there in a second.
Okay, I made you a cup of tea.
Thanks. Be right there.
Mason cupped his hands beneath the flow of cold water and splashed it on his heated cheeks. He shut off the water and grabbed a hand towel, drying his face before tossing it into the hamper. He'd apologize again and then never speak of his shame again, he vowed. Too bad he couldn't just wipe the memory from his head. Squaring his shoulders, he opened the bathroom door and stepped out. Rig was sitting at the kitchen island, sipping coffee and reading the morning paper. Bobby was at his usual spot in front of the stove. The delicious scents of bacon frying and coffee brewing caused Mason's gut to growl hungrily. Anything I can do to help? He asked, and reached for the mug of tea Bobby had set out for him.
There's some berries in that bag over there, Bobby said, pointing toward the far counter with a spatula. If you'd like to wash them, that'd be great.
Sure, Mason replied, thankful for something to keep busy.
You mean from having to sit across from Rig?
Mason rolled his eyes at his internal asshole and set his cup aside and grabbed the bag and took it to the sink.
I've got some business calls to make this morning and need to run and have a document notarized, so I won't be able to join you and Rig on the beach,
Bobby informed him, as he flipped the bacon, cursing as it popped onto his hand. Mason tensed. Shit.
Yeah.